Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Time for the sheriff.
Andrew Chapin will take over. All right, time now for the social scene. And Zan tweets, Andrew Chapin is the early season fan favorite guy. Glue type. Love his work so far. Hashtag Cubs. I'm with you, Zan. By the way, we got his car.
I guess one man's beater is another man's finely tuned muscle car. I don't know. Is that a muscle car?
I'm just not the right guy to ask.
Doesn't Chapin look like he's in an HBO show every time you see him on screen? Honestly, he is a character from Eastbound and Down.
I thought you guys were going to say Caddyshack.
Yeah.
I'm not a movie guy.
Shane! You and Andrew Chapin friends yet?
I think so.
Andrew Chapin, who I hear has a mustache and is entertaining as well.
I put the feeler out there on Saturday. Hey, I'm in the city. I need some help getting rid of this couch. I just took a shot. I just tweeted Chafe, which is what I call him. Chafe, yo, man, I know you got a truck. Can you come help me get rid of this couch? And he said, I would, but I already took my truck back to the farm for the season and the hitch for the Firebirds on back order. I said, all right, we'll figure something out. See you on a different day.
The Dodgers do not have any hits.
Oh, the whole bullpen had no idea. Like, it was completely oblivious.
A combined no-hitter for the first time in the long and legendary history of the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, I'm going to tell Willie to crap on Shane's couch again. I agree.
I swear to God, dude. I draw the line one place. It's a brand new couch.
And have you and Chafe burned that? Have you got together for the big couch burn yet?
He blew me off, man. Man, I had to dump that.
It just ain't right. It just ain't right.
The fact is, Chafin, who has a very good record and a very, very good situation in that clubhouse. Very popular player.
The Cubs, they are the buffet table for all the contenders.
Well, now he's heading out to the Oakland Athletics. And
he's gone, and we couldn't do nothing about it.
One, two, three.
And here we go, Tim.
Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
You gotta have some of these in the bag and ready to go when you're Chris Tannehill, you know, and Andrew Chafin, you knew he was gone. I'm sure Tanny's halfway through his Ryan Tepera Goodfellas treatment. Tepera might be on the White Sox by the end of the week. That's the hot and heavy rumor out there. The Kimbrel, I don't know what state the Kimbrel Goodfellas and the Bryant Goodfellas are in.
And wouldn't it be funny if I just didn't do any of those for any of those guys, Rizzo, Bryant, if I just didn't do it?
But just Chafe, only for the relievers?
Chafe was the last one that I do it for.
Chafe was the last one who deserved it. The best was, I mean, the Theo Epstein one was just absolutely epic, as it needed to be. Every once in a while, radio production guys, remember my old buddy Joe McCardle, who I think works up the dial, but who cares? He was doing something for XRT one year. And he was like, I'm like, what are you doing here for this year-end montage? And he said, basically, I'm doing the history of everything. Just like, just, you know, a montage on the history of everything. It might have been the millennial fireworks display. And he was doing that's what it was, I do believe. So sometimes you just got to have this stuff in the bag.
Yeah, and at some point you're going to have to retire it. And it would be a really funny idea to do it with an inconsequential person. And then you decide, that's it. This is the last time I'm doing it is for this guy. Not even a late inning reliever, but just like a middle inning guy. that pitches like three games all year. That's who you should do it for, Chris, and then say goodbye to it. You can pick the time.
I think the idea of the Goodfellas treatment one day getting the Goodfellas treatment is intriguing to me. Like, you're saying goodbye to the treatment itself. We get Inception levels of interaction at that point.
Yeah. Or you can give it the Sopranos treatment and it's over. And you have no idea what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just over. Yeah,
just the lyric cuts off. Good afternoon, everybody. It is Parkins and Spiegel. It's Spiegs and Ranji. We've talked a bunch of Bears with Mark Grody earlier. Ryan Pace talked earlier today. Matt Nagy talked earlier today. Basically, they did not give good firm answers on the vaccination rates of the players and whether they had reached 85%. Do we have clarity on that by the end of the day? I don't believe so.
We're going through that, right? Yeah. Like, literally, as we speak.
Yep. They also did not know whether Eddie Goldman was at training camp. We were able to confirm that he was through Roquan Smith a little bit later in the day. And then there was a lot of talk about Justin Fields and Andy Dalton, and Andy Dalton talking about Justin Fields and that kind of thing. We've covered that. Talked a bunch of White Sox here. Luis Robert is reporting to Charlotte tonight for that portion of his rehab stint. And that, along with Eloy Jimenez here, probably means no outfield bats acquired. We'll see if the White Sox do more. And we are following along, of course, with everything. There is a Cubs lineup for tonight. There's also a White Sox lineup. Eloy Jimenez in left field. Andrew Vaughn is in right. That's the most interesting thing about that White Sox lineup. There's a Cubs lineup tonight that originally had Javier Baez in it, and then he was scratched because of the sore heel that had been an issue up until last night. Obviously able to pinch hit and do what he did last night, but now cannot go via the sore heel. That also means he's unavailable to be thrown at by the Cincinnati Reds if they were so inclined this evening.
He's unavailable, but maybe somebody else is not unavailable. You know, do you feel? I don't think anything's going to happen tonight. Now, I think it'd be more likely if he's in the game for something to happen. But it's still, maybe it's not quite as intriguing tonight as it would have been if Baez was actually going to play. But the fact that there is a rivalry here with the two teams, and it really is because of two individual players who have kind of started the whole thing. I think it's great, and I think it's great for there to be some added animosity between two teams that were usually not really, you know, not rivals in the sense that they are with the Cardinals or anything.
No, but in terms of the volatility and the venom and the anger, there's stuff that's gone back several years here with the Reds. When Aroldis Chapman was there, Aroldis Chapman went high and tight a little bit. You remember Anthony Rizzo throwing his glove down and charging the Cincinnati Reds dugout? That's when Aroldis was there, and they were barking at each other from dugout to Rizzo. So there's that. I remember they had that kid, TJ Antone, who threw super high and tight on Rizzo last year and then said that he wasn't, that it was just a miss, and he came to post-game armed with some data about how many inches the regular MLB miss is. Just absolutely ridiculous.
Grunting. I'm just part of the game.
That's awesome. I TJ totally Antone. Forgot about that.
Remember that? He's like, you know, the average MLB miss is 17 inches. It's like, it sounded like, you know, the human head weighs 6 pounds. You know, it's like the kid from Jerry Maguire. And then there's, earlier this year, Amir Garrett was suspended 7 games for inciting a brawl against the Cubs, and that was when he was just screaming and barking, and MLB decided that was a 7-game-worthy suspension. So maybe they will do something to Javier Baez here. But, you know, before we get to that, let's talk about the moment and the stuff that happened last night. And I want to hear the Reds broadcast, because I was watching with Boog and JD on Marquee, and it was absolutely epic as Javi came in, bases loaded, tie game, bottom nine, and against a 2-man outfield, hit a warning track opposite field single and then took 16 seconds to get to first base and just was celebrating incredibly. I have not heard the Reds broadcast. Let's hear it. This is Jeff Brantley, and unfortunately it's not Tom Brenneman.
I know what you're trying to say, and I felt the same way.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
Amazingly, that was Brenneman, actually, last night, just completely out of it. And Castellanos wasn't even playing. He's hurt right now. But here's Reds TV as Javi does what he did against Amir Garrett last night.
The biggest fireworks came when Baez hurtled over the padded railing and beckoned what seemed to be a fight head-to-head with Garrett after Garrett had barked at the Cubs. Baez has largely had Garrett's number, 3-for-7, 3 home runs, including a dinger this year. 5-man infield in. First pitch. Sky to the outfield, and Baez yelling at Garrett. He is screaming at Garrett. And he wins the game, tossing the bat at Garrett's feet. Garrett picks up the bat, tosses it aside. And the Reds fall 6-5.
Well, that was almost a shove-it-in-your-face moment. Throwing that bat back out there. He threw the bat towards Garrett, and I'm not sure that that's what we're talking about when it comes to celebration.
Scored a single for Baez as the Reds went 5-man infield. No chance with just a pair in the outfield.
Yeah, that was definitely a moment that in a normal situation that would have brought the benches onto the field.
And I also wonder, in this year where the Reds know better than anyone what aggressive actions can mean in terms of league office retribution, I don't know if going halfway to first and screaming at the pitcher and throwing the bat at his feet.
Well, he was screaming from home plate before the ball ever hit the ground. And he was screaming directly at Amir Garrett. Now, Amir went straight back. He just walked off. He went to pick up the bat. Of course, Adrian Johnson, the umpire, was right there to make sure there was no issue with Garrett. I mean, immediately a scream, and he is screaming right at Garrett. He is looking at Garrett, screaming at Garrett, didn't get his attention. But he's still talking, and then he throws the bat right at him.
No, he doesn't.
And you can see Wilson Contreras saying, go, 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 go. That should make for an interesting rest of the series.
He doesn't throw the bat right
he
at him at all.
He did not throw the bat. He threw the bat. He slammed it down. And it rolled that direction.
Oh,
but he didn't
man.
Throw the bat at Amir Garrett. Okay, that did not happen. Everything
that did
else
not
did.
Happen. And everything else, I mean, everything else was fine. But that's an important detail. You know? I mean, these days, the line is drawn in terms of where you are directing your venom. And not just with the throwing of things, but also like yelling at a dugout, right? I mean, Tim Anderson's thing last year where he threw the bat back at the White Sox dugout, not at the Kansas City dugout, and was talking, you know, trying to rev up his own guys, that creates a different thing. You know, Amir Garrett suspended in part earlier in the year because he was yelling at the Cubs dugout, and that forced Javier Baez to come out, you know. But, like, whether you like it or not, like, that is a thing here. But, I mean, my goodness, he did not throw the bat at him. That part is completely incorrect.
Correct. No, I mean, he did all the other stuff, yes. I mean, that was 100% true, and I thought it was entertaining. It was great. It may lead to a Baez suspension of some kind. He's at least going to get fined. At least he's going to get fined. And I don't think anything tonight, him being out of the lineup, has anything to do with this. I do
Probably
think it's the heel. It's the heel. I mean, because players are on the verge of being suspended or actually get suspended, and then end up still playing that night anyway because they've appealed. So I don't think this has anything to do with that. But,
no, but David Ross before the game was asked if he heard from MLB regarding the Javier Baez incident and Amir Garrett, and he said yes, he had heard from MLB. And the follow-up was, do you think a suspension is possible? And he said, yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you think so MLB might suspend him for those histrionics yelling in at Amir Garrett and for taking out the shirt and taking so long to get to first. I wonder what the specific reasoning will be.
And you know what? If they do it, I totally get it. That does not mean that in the moment it still wasn't awesome. Like the whole thing to me was, like, I think Javier Baez probably deserves to be punished one way or another, whether it's a game suspension or a couple or whatever. Like, that was a little over the top last night, but it was still amazing. Like, although the whole thing, the back and forth between the two of them that's been going on all season long is awesome. And what happened last night was also really damn entertaining, even if it leads to a suspension. Nobody got hurt, and that's the thing that matters to me. I don't like throwing at guys. I don't like throwing at heads, because that's the kind of thing that you can ruin somebody's career. That's different. That stuff is way out of bounds. What happened last night is silly, but, you know, still kind of awesome.
In terms of offending your baseball sensibilities, and when I say your, I just mean all the listeners.
The royal you.
The royal you. In terms of things being like, oh, man, I mean, have a little sportsmanship. That kind of reaction, I think we all have, that's shifted for all of us through the years. Maybe some people never cared about any of it. I certainly used to care about some of it, and it has shifted through the years. And I remember certain moments where it happens, and you're like, yeah, well, that's just kind of fun. That's kind of fun. There's really no harm there. But it's okay to admit that, you know, you used to think a different way, or maybe you still think that way. It's all totally fine. It just is what it is. I remember my wife, the Meatball Cub fan that she is, a couple years ago, maybe it was 3 years ago, talking about, don't do that. Act like you've been there before. She was talking about somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And I said to her, how do you feel when Pedro Strop strikes somebody out and then pumps his fist and screams and walks off? And she said, I don't like it. No, actually, I really like that a lot. She admitted yeah. right there. Like, and then she laughed like hell. And it was the moment of her even understanding that she kind of likes it when her own people do it. So you can't really be angry when the other people do it. You know, we all have those moments along the way where you've relaxed about certain things that used to drive you crazy because the world has changed and people celebrate and it really doesn't do any harm for the most part.
Yes. And also there are times where a guy does it and it's against my team. And I get pissed. And I'm like, screw that guy.
Yeah,
screw that. Who's that guy think he is? But that's just me in the moment being angry because he beat my team.
Yeah.
Right? But I take a step back and I realize, okay, that's still okay. And it's entertaining because if you're watching and you're not a fan of either team, you're eating it up. You know, it just adds another layer
for
to
sure.
what's going on in the
for
field
sure.
and the competition.
But I guess what I'm wondering, Ranger, like, what is too far? Is there something that would make that would push your old man buttons? Because I got to admit that it pushed my old man buttons a little bit last night. It did just a little bit push my old man buttons. Like it was the walking around with the eye. He looked like I have made fire. Right? He looked like Tom Hanks in Castaway celebrating the creation of fire, or like the gladiator in the middle. I mean, and football guys do it all the time. So I shouldn't care. But the whole thing and just the length of time to walk and go, like I found, I must admit, my old man buttons being pushed. And I didn't even know that I had old man buttons. I didn't even know. Where are they? I don't know. Are they up here by the nipples? I'm not sure. Are they in the back? Are they on the side? My old man buttons. But I found them being pushed just a little bit, I have to admit.
Your old man buttons are always where your nipples are. Because you ever have somebody walk up to you and try to pinch your nipple? It's
the
worst. Then it pisses you off. It's the worst.
The worst.
The reason it didn't push my old man buttons last night was because I knew it wasn't contrived. Like, I knew it wasn't Baez trying to put on a show.
He was legitimately
fired up.
Feeling the satisfaction. He hates that guy.
Yes.
Huge moment coming off the bench. Absolutely. And you know what? To be able to do that on the first pitch when everybody knows what's at stake and you've got all that energy screaming at him, it's impressive. It is undeniably impressive.
Well, think about this, Matt. How many times have we heard over the years from coaches or players even to not try to do too much? And you know he was going up there in the moment thinking, I am going to crush the first pitch wherever I can hit it.
Yes.
Like and he was trying to do too much, and he succeeded. When it's the exact opposite advice that players and coaches ever give you as a hitter.
You're totally right. But that's his game. He goes up there almost every time trying to do too much. And like the bat speed is fast enough and the hand-eye coordination is good enough that he actually hits the hell out of the ball and makes contact. It's so antithetical to what they've been told. And there was this massive moment of, don't try to do too much. No, I am going to try to
I'm
do
doing this.
Way too much. And he got it all completely done.
But for me, here's what I want. I want authenticity in baseball. And I think when players try to, hold down their emotions, it is so inauthentic. And that's one of the reasons that baseball a lot of times can be unenjoyable for me. And then that's changing a lot lately. That's all I'm asking for. I'm not asking for histrionics every single time, every time you hit a home run or every time you make a great play or something like that happens. What I am asking for is players to be themselves. And there was nothing that happened last night in that moment that was him saying, I'm going to put on a show for these people in this ballpark. And for somebody who wasn't in the ballpark, I understand that it felt like a playoff game last night, even though you've got two teams that are 7 and 8 games out of first, that there was some intensity there for whatever reason. So I love the fact there was real, actual emotion in that moment, and Baez wasn't, it wasn't a put on. So that to me is good enough most of the time.
I understand. But that dude is a showman, though. He absolutely is a showman.
He is.
Plays to the crowd, loves playing to the crowd. The crowd loves him. That's why I screamed at him. The crowd loves you, Javi. That's why I screamed that at him, because it's true. When I sat in the seats, as me and Danny had talked about, like, what, a month and a half ago. The thing is, look, there's so much energy, emotion, anxiety behind the eyes of all of these Cubs core players who might be traded this week. Javi Baez, it's been leading up to this moment of his Cubs career the entire time. Would they sign an extension or not? Are they going to keep me long term or not? I want to be here. And here we are. It's the final homestand, man. It's the final few games possibly of the Cubs career for these guys. And there was Rizzo out there with Contreras and with Baez all celebrating after that thing. And what that emotion that you saw come out, it was a perfect storm for him against Garrett, and Garrett being a Jag as he has been, but all the pent up anxiety and energy for Javi all came flooding out there last night.
I totally agree with that idea, because if something is going on in your life, and it's bothersome to you, it comes out in really weird moments. Like maybe how you have an interaction with somebody or whatever it is. Maybe you blow up at somebody and you go, where the hell did that come from?
Exactly.
I'm sure that these guys have been, because this is a core of players that was supposed to be together for a decade, right? And do great things for 10 years, and it's getting cut in about half. And that's all anybody's talking about when we talk about the Cubs, is where these guys are going to end up. So I'm sure there's some, I think you're totally right in using the word anxiety. There has to be a considerable amount of that that's been built up over the last several weeks.
I think that's absolutely true. It's Spiegel and Aranji right here on Parkins and Spiegel. Before we get out of here, I have a delightful non-football example of Justin Fields' potential that I need to share with you. It's absurd and ridiculous and perfect for the 5 o'clock hour on a Tuesday on 670 The Score.
You're saying there's going to be plenty of reps for Justin Fields in preseason games. What if he goes out and just crushes it? Is there anything he...
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
That's Matt Nagy saying that would be awesome, huh? Coaches, they're just like us. He just wants them to be awesome. Just wants them to be awesome.
Except, Matt, we get no say in what happens after that, you know?
Yeah. If he goes out there and looks phenomenal, oh, that'd be fun. That'd be fun. Ranger, are you going to go to the Buffalo Bills preseason game against the Bears? Is it August 15th, I believe, at Soldier Field? It is Mitch Trubisky against Justin Fields. Really looking forward to that one.
If I am invited, I'd go. Do you think I'm invited, though?
Nah, I don't know. I mean, you need to be invited. Just come on up here and buy a ticket, Big Shooter. Let's go. I mean, it is our sister station, WBBM. I don't like to go to Bears games during the regular season. Maybe I'll go to that one just to get a feel for it. It is right here in the neighborhood. That is, of course, unless the entire city is shut back down after COVID cases spiral when Lollapalooza takes place this weekend.
God. Well, I mean, it's already happening. What, are they doing any extra restrictions or anything now that, You know, we've got this rise in cases. As opposed to what they were planning to do originally?
I believe that the mayor asked that people not cough directly on each other. That was a courtesy that was being asked.
If we know anything about the people who love to follow orders, they will totally adhere to that one if they could.
Oh, sure. Goodness.
I think, do the Bears have any plans for a tribute video for Mitch?
This is the kind of content I'm here for. That's the thing.
We're going through that literally as we speak.
They're going through it right now. As we speak, they're looking through all the old Mitch stuff. What highlights should we put on here? Should we put the overthrow interception? Which one? Which one? Should we put the end of the first half thing against Carolina when he scrambled around and threw a pick in the back of the end zone when we could have picked up three? Yeah, put that one. That's emblematic of the whole thing. You put that in there. Absolutely.
It's going to be, just to be nice to him, just out of courtesy, it's just going to be him running around. Like, that'll be it. Like when you see old Lionel Messi highlight films, it's just him dribbling. So it's just going to be Mitch running around, and then they'll cut it out right before the throw.
Yeah. Now, look, I share this with the full acknowledgement that these are the kind of things that always get shared when you're trafficking in hope when it comes to a young quarterback. Like, maybe we found the guy. Like, I'm sure there were any number of Mitch stories 5 years ago where it's like, oh, did you hear that? That's how you can tell he's going to be the guy. So I bring this to you slightly tongue-in-cheek. From Albert Breer in Monday Morning Quarterback this week, a non-football example of how Justin Fields has what it takes to be a star quarterback. I offer you this. Fields' teammates respond to him, and Fields is well on his way there. One example came in a dance competition on the last day of OTAs. The players had a dance-off, offense versus defense, and the offense had a rookie out there first. It started, and a few seconds in, Fields jumped in to help his draft classmate in the dance contest and proceeded to bring the house down. It was a good sign to the guys that were there of how Fields understands leadership in a way where he knows where he's at as a rookie, but also has a good feel for when to assert himself. That from Albert Breer in Monday Morning Quarterback. He's jumping in to help a fellow rookie in a dance contest when that rookie was looking awkward, and I assume it was Tevin Jenkins. How do we feel about that as an indicator of Justin Fields' leadership skills?
Would a non-Hall of Famer do that? Because I think the answer is clearly no. So I don't think you can take anything from that. The only logical step after hearing that story is this guy's going to the Hall of Fame. That's it. There is no next logical thing that happens. It's just Hall of Fame from here. Speaks. I don't know. I just this weird feeling hit me that I'm enjoying so much this lead up to the Justin Fields era, whenever it finally does start.
Yeah.
That part of me is kind of wanting to not find out. Like, I just don't, I'm nervous to find out if it's actually going to be good or not, because this part, all of the lead up to finding out is great.
Yeah.
This is all awesome. And it's the best it's felt to be a Bears fan in a very long, I would say that the last time it felt this good is when Hester ran back the opening kickoff in the Super Bowl. This is the second best feeling ever. And part of me just, I don't ever want to have a realization one way or the other. I just kind of want to live in this.
That's really funny. And I understand. I would ask you to go back a couple years, like as a Bears fan, the summer of 2019, after they'd lost in the double doink game, and you had the whole summer to think about a 12-4 team that should have gone even further.
Yeah.
And Mitch was pretty good in that playoff game. He led the drive that set up Cody Parkey for what could have, or perhaps should have, been the game winner. So we spent that whole summer thinking, we're next. We're going to beat the Packers. We're going to be better than the Packers. I mean, or even if you weren't sure about that, you were like, it's at least going to be as good as last year. Got this great defense that takes the ball away every time. Led the world in turnovers and takeaways with 36. Matt Nagy, we finally got the offensive coach. He's clicking with the quarterback. And then it all went to complete and utter crap on that Thursday night opener against Green Bay.
Maybe I'm revising my own history, but I don't know if I felt that good.
I think you did. Did you keep a journal?
No, I didn't. I could be. This could be all me just thinking back. And I feel like that double doink was so prominent in everything that I couldn't think about them without thinking about that. And just, you know, sometimes when, and it happens a lot of times in sports, when teams lose in the most ridiculous fashion that they almost never recover from it. I'm not saying that I didn't think they were ever going to not recover from that. I just don't know if I had as good of a feeling in that summer as you're saying you did.
Okay, so you didn't have the off season we're next kind of feeling like the 2015 Cubs after getting swept by the Mets in the
I don't know if I
NLCS.
Had that. I think maybe I felt like they were better than what we saw, and they deserved a better fate. But it's the NFL, and even if you think you're next, and even if you think, oh, we're on the verge of 4 or 5 years of being really good here, that doesn't always work out in this league. And a lot of times you get really disappointed. So I don't know if I had that same amount of optimism about the Bears.
How about after the
first
half?
But this right now is great.
Yeah, no, I feel you. How about the first half of the first game of Khalil Mack's Bears
okay
career.
No, that was pretty awesome,
right? That was first awesome. It was against the Packers that night game, and at halftime was it 24-0? I forget what the score was, but Mac had all the sacks, and he had the interception, he had a touchdown. Aaron Rodgers looked like absolute ass. He couldn't even move, and it was like
the hell is Aaron Donald? That's what I was thinking. Like, this guy is so good.
God, we've got the best player, the best defensive player in the entire NFL. Oh, my God, here we go. Seriously, halftime of that very first game was unbelievable. You know, so
that still doesn't feel
moments.
As – right. But to me, Matt, still doesn't feel as good as now. Like, now has a pre – when your baseball team clinches – the playoffs, there's something special to me about playoff clinching in baseball more so than the other sports. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it feels like such a long, drawn-out season that when you finally get that acknowledgement that you are a playoff team and now it's time to just get ready for the playoffs, and then you get to line up your rotation or whatever, you know, get healthy, all of those things. There's a great feeling between clinching and the start of the postseason, like for me, a really special buildup. And right now, I feel like there's a similar kind of buildup that you have going into the start of the postseason in baseball with Justin Fields. Like, there's a special, I'm going to enjoy the, hey, the playoffs are about to start feel.
Yeah.
And I'm in this, I'm going to enjoy what's about to be a Super Bowl / Hall of Fame career, you know? Like that's outrageous, but it does feel that way. There's like this anticipation leading up to when he actually does start that I almost like the anticipation more than what the outcome's gonna be.
I think you are underselling the emotions of the summer of 2019.
I might be.
In a little bit of revisionist history. Like, a texter says, the consensus of the majority of the city was, all we need is a kicker and we're going to the Super Bowl. We would have gone to the Super Bowl had we had a kicker last year. That's all we need. Let's just solve the kicker thing. And then they brought in seven kickers. Brought in seven kickers.
They had the helicopter seeking them out.
The news helicopters were chasing down the kicker auditions up at Ellis Hall during OTAs. It was a simpler time, Ranji. That's all we were worried about was finding a freaking kicker. And they brought in seven and decided on Eddie Pinheiro, right?
Yeah,
I was like, that's right. That's the guy.
I guess it did kind of feel like, yeah, if they just figure out this kicker situation, then they'll be okay.
We got it. Yeah. Sure. It's like all you need is a closer. All you need is a closer, and that's it. That's all you need.
Yeah, you might be right. I think I'm revising my own history.
It's understandable, though. It's completely understandable. We'll come back and wrap this up and hand it off to Cody Decker before Cubs baseball in a matter of moments on 670 The Score. Parkinson Spiegel Show on 670 The Score. Spiegs and Ranji here with you. So, you know, you heard about this Manning Brothers megacast thing that they're going to do on Monday Night Football. Got announced last week. Peyton and Eli, the alternate Monday Night Football telecast. And they're going to have guests and celebrities, players, current, former players, whatever. And everybody was talking about who's going to be the play-by-play guy. You don't need a play-by-play man or woman for that job to be the facilitator of conversations. That's not what a megacast is. Like, I've enjoyed all the megacast stuff with the college football championship game, the title game. And so the name that's come up is not surprising to me. It's Adam Schefter. That it might be Schefter, according to Front Office Sports, sitting there between Peyton and Eli and helping to make conversations happen for those 10 games. And, oh, by the way, Schefter's contract is up right here in 2021, so that could be a nice tie-in for one of their biggest stars. Remember, like when he signed that deal 5 years ago, he doesn't want to just be NFL reporter guy. He has a podcast now. He's got more of a TV presence. He likes being front and center. That would not surprise me at all if that's Schefter's gig.
And he's really good at it. I think he's really good at all of it. So that's a really good pick if you want to do it that way. Because, no, you don't need a traditional play-by-play person to tell you what's happening. Because if you want that, there's an alternate channel, the main one, that you go to that and watch. So this is a completely different product. It probably makes sense to not have somebody who only does that. There's added intrigue with Schefter because people might additionally tune in just to hear what he has to say. Right? Because, yeah, I mean, he's got his own information. Clearly, he's the best in the business right now. So I think there's a lot of reason to want to watch that broadcast, unless you just like a traditional, regular football broadcast.
Yeah, but like for these megacasts and stuff, like I enjoy that stuff. This is totally the future of broadcasting, like the alternate audio feed and different ways of doing it. Amazon, I think, is going to do an alternate feed this year for Thursday Night Football. In fact, I believe they did last year, and I just had no idea it was even happening. So
And here's what I'm curious about, because the biggest reason you watch sports is for the drama, and in particular the dramatics at the end. I haven't seen one of these broadcasts, you know, at the end of a game, or of these kinds of broadcasts at the end of the game when it's a one possession score and a team's driving down the field. Like how they're capturing those moments. You know, I mean, there clearly is a lot of conversation going on, but how are they capturing it? Are they building the drama of that? I feel like I would probably still like a traditional broadcast more at the end of a game if it's close. But then again, I don't know what the alternative is because I haven't heard it.
Sure. No, but you'll have that option to go back and forth as needed. We have a lineup down in Charlotte. Luis Robert is hitting leadoff. He's hitting leadoff. He's playing center field for Charlotte on a major league rehab. Jake Lamb is hitting second, also on a major league rehab down there. Jake Berger's in that lineup. We've reached the point now, and this is the way it should be. I remember when I used to know everybody in the Iowa Cubs lineup because it was like a big pile of prospects or maybe mildly useful veterans getting a workout. Now I look at that Charlotte lineup and I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, there's Mike Rodolfo. Sure. Oh, there's Blake Rutherford. Yep, makes all the sense in the world.
Hey, there's no way that Jake Lamb sees the White Sox Major League team again, right?
I don't know,
injuries,
man.
Injuries, multiple, I guess.
I think maybe he's included in a trade, and if not, he's DFA'd.
Well, when you're full strength, who are your outfielders when you're full strength?
Robert, Vaughn, and whoever you want to put in right field or left field.
Well, you got four or five outfielders, right? Leury is probably your fifth outfielder / fifth or sixth infielder.
Robert, Vaughn, Billy Hamilton, Leury, and Gavin Sheets.
Nah,
and maybe Brian Goodwin.
Gavin Sheets, Brian Goodwin, Jake Lamb. One of those is going to be your lefty bench bat.
I think it's Sheets.
I don't know if they'll trust him. It'd be nice. It'd be nice. I could see it being Goodwin because of what he's shown you so far. Maybe some trust has been built, but I sure as hell could see Tony pushing for Jake Lamb. Could absolutely see that, much to
likes
your consternation.
A veteran.
Yes, yes, he does. 670 The Score is what you've been listening to. You're still listening to it. Cody Decker's coming up with Down the Line, and then it'll be Cubs pregame with Zach Zabin at around 6:35. Thank you to our guest today. Mark Grody was on the show. Bob Grimm, the longtime White Sox broadcast executive, was on with some great Hawk Harrelson stuff and more in the 3 o'clock hour. Thank you to Chris Tannehill, who makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Thank you to Shane Reardon for outstanding content creation, no matter what Parkins says when he's actually here. Ranji, thank you, buddy. Been a pleasure.
See you Friday.
See you Friday for trade deadline baseball radio action and
let's
whatever
go.
The hell else is going on. Tomorrow it's Ryan McGuffey with me in the afternoon. Looking forward to that. Have a great evening, everybody. Thanks for listening.
That's why I like to listen to sports radio, because mm-hmm. it's very emotional. It's very idiotic. It's all the flaws in human thinking come out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.